latest episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Thank you all for being here. We're going to recap the Rutgers episode. Kevin and I, 27 points. Still not enough to Drake, to get Drake on the podcast. You guys are going to have to keep bugging him or come to the Patreon or don't. That's the only way you get Drake Kulik. Kevin and I break down the game. Hawkeye win, a Hawkeye over, Hawkeye improvement. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. It's episode 354, I think. I don't know. It's been such a long weekend. It's been a long day. It's my birthday. Not necessarily the exact way that I would want to spend my birthday in a car to Nebraska and back, but we are here. It was for a good thing. It's just made for a long weekend. I didn't even finish up watching the game until right before you got on, Kevin. I watched the game on the way home from Nebraska. My mother-in-law was inducted into the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame. So
neat.
She was good at volleyball and softball, and that was fun. But wow, we went Saturday. We went to the Nebraska volleyball game, which was going on at the same time as the Iowa game. So we recorded it. I watched it on the way home. We won. Hey, Iowa football and the over, right? Iowa football and the over. Let's jump right into this.
What you might call a RCH, otherwise known as the smallest unit of measurement known to man.
RCH.
Go ahead and look it up.
Okay. I'll do that after the show. Everybody else can do it as well as they listen to this podcast. Let's dive in and start with something that I guess I might have jinxed you on, Kevin. I don't know. You said it on Twitter.
Fucking bastard.
I thought it was great use of a current event pop culture meme that kept going around with the Adam Levine DM. It's like, for those listening and that don't follow the Twitter account, it's his DM to the chick that he was banging on the side. And it says something like, "You are so unbelievably fucking hot. I can't believe how hot you are." And so Kevin, to start the, you know, we didn't get bets out that first week, but then the last 2 weeks, Kevin was 5-1, came out hot. Kevin Ward was as hot as Adam Levine's mistresses. And so I used the meme from the walk-ons account. He said, Kevin specifically said, and this was on Thursday before his first game of the weekend kicked off, which was Coastal Carolina and Georgia State, right?
Correct.
And Kevin said, "When I go 0-3 this weekend, I'm blaming you." And Kevin, from a 5-1 start, now stands 5-4 because he went 0-3 this weekend.
Yeah, you bastard. Absolute bullshit of a tweet for you to say. Absolute bullshit.
I don't know.
Why don't you just come into the top of the ninth inning and tell the pitcher, "Hey, man, you're having a really perfect game right now.
Hey.
I just keep it up, man. Don't think about those next 3 hours. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're throwing an absolutely perfect game. Why don't you just, you know..."
That's a good equivalent. Like walking up to maybe in the eighth inning, right? Two innings left. He's gone seven. And you go up to him and you're like, "Hey, you know, you're pitching a perfect game, right? Strikes, man."
There's no way that you don't get this here.
Just throw strikes, man. Just keep doing what you're doing. So let's talk a little bit about it. Georgia State didn't get it done for you. They were +2. Coastal Carolina came out and kind of kicked their ass. Yeah.
Kinda. It was a game the entire game. Coastal Carolina scores a late touchdown. They win by 17. So
okay,
it was a closer game than the score.
Inflated a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get it done there. I had the over in the Minnesota-Michigan State game. Michigan State scores 0 points.
Dude.
Minnesota looks like a damn good football team.
We're going to talk about that in a second. That was an interesting result. And there's a lot of things to talk about from that game. But
that was a straight up ass kicking, like
34-7,
which in the Big Ten might as well be a 50-point win.
Correct.
Like they just beat them every phase of the game, up on down the field.
Did you get to watch that game?
I got to watch a little bit of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then finally, and this one doubled as our DRF boost of the week, was the Ohio State Wisconsin under. And I was really confident in this. I loved Kevin's pick on this. I thought Wisconsin had more of a spine, you know?
Well, wrong on that one by about four touchdowns.
Now, granted, Ohio State's really good. Ohio State is probably, I hope to God that we can keep it close against Ohio State this year. They made Wisconsin, I mean, Wisconsin scored some late, I think they scored some late touchdowns too.
Yeah, they scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to
make it look better, but it was not close.
No, man, this game was really, I mean, it was 21-0 after the first quarter. It was 31-7 going into halftime. So
yikes.
It was just one of those, you come back in halftime, it's like, well, get home, got any ideas?
Let's get home safe. Seriously, that's the plan at that point. Oh, well. Do you ever play any games like that? Well, you probably didn't, I guess. That's a bad question to ask Comer Glenn. Marshalltown played a couple games like that in high school. Tell you a little quick story. It's 2010. The Marshalltown Bobcats have just come off their best season in history of the program since being created. A 13-0 run to the state championship game where we lose, and we lost pretty handily to Iowa City City High, second place in the state. Best we've ever done to that point was making the playoffs, but we actually made it to the state championship. The next year, we lose all of the seniors from that class that made that team. So our class, we step in. I'm now starting as a sophomore, middle linebacker. We've got a couple weak classes ahead of me in the junior and senior class. We go 3-6. We make it on a technicality because of one team beat another team that got us in as the last seed. And we play who other than West Des Moines Dowling Catholic in the opening round, who this would have been the year that they started their 7 championship run, I believe. And we play him first round. Amara Darbo, who goes on to Michigan and then the NFL. We get beat 60-something to 7 on a night where it was 28 degrees and sleeting rain. And that is probably a lot how I felt during that halftime, how some of these teams feel when they go into half, especially against Ohio State, who can basically score at will on you. So,
is that the worst you ever gotten beat? Like not just football, not just high school, just
any sport ever?
Any sport, any point in your life.
That's a good question. Is that the worst beating I've ever taken? Oof. That's a great question. That Minnesota 2014 was pretty close.
That was an ass kicking. We were winning that game too. People forget that.
7-0, baby.
Opening drive, man.
That's called blowing your load. And then we didn't have anything left. Is that the worst that I've ever been beat? I'm trying to think back to AAU basketball. We were pretty good. We probably got beats in similar fashion on my junior, senior varsity basketball teams.
Okay.
Well, Ike and Cedar Falls beat us pretty bad. I mean, I'm talking by 40 or 50 in a basketball game. It's by 60 in a football game. I'm going to go with that's top three, if not the worst ever. What's the worst you've ever been beaten?
I think what comes first to mind is freshman year football. We got beat 57-0.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
By who?
By another team in our conference. would go on to beat him the next 2 years, though.
Did you guys have a lot of people pulled up? Because sometimes freshmen
stuff. We had two people pulled up.
Okay.
That was it.
Okay.
They just had some man-child of freshmen.
Freshman is such an interesting age.
Right, yeah. You got some kids who were, like, fully developed and some kids who, like, haven't even started puberty yet.
Exactly.
We were on the ladder of those two.
Well, and it's funny because Drake always talks about how when he walked into high school, he was – Drake was 135 pounds.
Same. Yeah, I was like 5'8", 130 freshman year of high school.
And I was this height. I was 5'10", 195 as a freshman and athletic, man. I was athletic. Yeah. Well, Wisconsin was on the end of that. So Kevin goes 0-3. His record does not improve. It decreases to 5-4, still winning on the season. And hey, we'll get him next week. Drake.
I believe Drake went 1-2 today.
Drake, the Chiefs lost to the Colts.
Drake loves, for some reason, picking
road
favorites.
Road favorites.
Just a way to go broke betting in the NFL.
Road favorites. If he went 1-2, that puts him at 2-7. Yeah, just anybody.
So, yeah, he picked the Chiefs. They were about a touchdown favorite. They lose outright. He picked the Bills, who were about a touchdown favorite.
Same.
Miami, they lose.
They lose outright. Miami about blew them.
They tried to.
That punt? Yeah. The butt punt? What's going on? Did you see that?
I mean, they were backed up on the 1 yard line.
Well, why is the PP so far?
I don't know, man. I don't know. He was probably at his normal depth, which, correct me if I'm wrong, when we were backed up, we moved the PP up so the punt.
You have to for that reason. Yes, right? Yeah, yes. Exactly. Ravens -1.5. Who did they play? Patriots? Because I saw that.
They played the Patriots and they won by about a touchdown. So
okay, so he covered there. So he's currently 2-7. Kevin,
I think next week I might go on the fade Drake pick.
You're gonna
wait until Drake makes his picks and just go oppo.
And then just yeah. I was okay this week. Kansas is a Watch out for 4-0 Kansas. Is it
Don't
time
let Kansas get hot?
Is it time to rank Kansas football?
Hey, tell you what, man, the state of Kansas had a good week. Kansas State? Oklahoma.
By like 2 touchdowns, right?
Did
they end up scoring in the end? Adrian Martinez. He's still playing over there. They got him from Nebraska. He's probably happy as hell.
Oh, yeah. That's a major upgrade for him.
And Nebraska's probably happy as hell that they were on a bye week. They needed it. Kansas wins by 8 against Duke. 7.5-point favorite when I chose them. So we'll take it.
RCH pick for you right there.
We will take it. Michigan struggled.
Michigan finally played someone worth a damn, and they look human.
Which is good.
The first 3 weeks of the year, they were playing inferior opponents and just curb stomping them, which
Correct.
Is what good teams do to inferior opponents. But I think Maryland's actually got a pretty good squad this year.
I think they do too.
I think that they showed that Michigan is a very beatable football team.
Which is a positive because guess who's on the schedule this week? The Michigan Wolverines. I can't get it out of my head, us sitting up in section 623 of fucking...
Surrounded by Michigan fans.
It's great to be a Michigan. I'll give it to them. I like the chant.
That's not their chant, though, man. That's just a basic chant if you have like the right enough syllables.
If you have the right syllables, okay.
I mean, Pat McAfee was doing it on College Game Day. They're in the Tennessee Volunteers.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
It's not Michigan's chant. It is a catchy chant, though.
It is a catchy chant. I heard somebody, not me, I haven't done this research, but I heard some talking heads say that Maryland potentially has the best receiving core in the nation. And they have Dante Demas, who had that crazy leg injury versus us last year.
I mean, is Stephon Diggs still playing for the Maryland Terrapins? Because if so, that'd be the truth.
Well, then that would probably lock it up because that man's unguardable. Well, I guess that Miami found a way to do it. Anyway, Michigan does not win by 16.5. So that's my one loss on the weekend. Kansas does win by 8. Iowa Rutgers, I went with the over. Something inside of me told me, hey, I think they're going to do it. Most of what that bet was based on was the fact that if you have one of the lowest totals in the history of sports betting, what are the odds that that goes over, right? Like, I don't know. I felt good about it. It barely hit, and it hit from a
literally barely and hit
Drew Stevens
from two perspectives. You beat it by 1.5 points.
Yeah.
And if that ball is an RCH further to the left, it bounces straight back onto the field. And that,
oh, I know what you're using now. Okay. I hate you. Is that a Phil Parker unit?
That's a unit of measurement that's been known to be used around the Hanson Football Performance Center.
Okay.
Name any names.
I thought so. So I go 2-1. I improve to 4-3-1, and I get positive. And I'm happy about that. 4-3-1. Kevin's 5-4. Drake 2-7. So that takes care of that. We're going to talk a little bit about Iowa Rutgers, obviously, because this is the Rutgers recap. Kevin, where were you Saturday? Were you able to, you were gone like the last two weekends, right?
Yeah. Previous weekend I was at a bachelor party. That is why I'm sick this weekend. And
did you get the vid in Phoenix?
No, we are vid free.
Okay.
Just got a little upper respiratory infection going on right now.
When you consume the alcohol, which is technically a poison, it probably decreases the functioning of the, you know, the.
Yeah, I mean that, and you share a house with 16 dudes and
16 dudes,
and you eat Eggo waffles every day.
That's a lot of meat.
It was a hell of a house, though.
I bet it was. I bet it was. I bet you had a great time. You had Eggo waffles every day.
Oh yeah, yes.
The hotel that we stayed at this morning had unthawed but not cooked Eggo waffles sitting in a little container that you could cook yourself and then like spread on. But
now, did you cook them or did you just eat them as is?
I have in a previous life eaten them just as is. This morning,
in a previous life, I have just eaten Eggo waffles straight out of the freezer.
In a previous life, that was in college at Benton Street. If Kevin Ward was going to indulge nutritionally, a non-cooked Eggo waffle was a pretty high on the list of potential indulgences. When I was a kid, yeah, we would just, I mean, there's Eggo is, they figured it out, you know? Where was I going with this? Speaking of, by the way, food items, last week you said we should do top five breads.
Yeah.
Wednesday, we're doing top five breads.
Yeah, let's go. Are we doing top five or top three?
We're going top five.
I love it.
Because I searched list of breads, and there was 20 plus
breads out there, man.
There's 20 plus breads. And so I've already got my top five ready.
You already got it?
I haven't ranked them within the top five, but I have my top five and an honorable mention.
Okay.
So you were able to watch the game. That's where I was going with this.
Yeah. That is the thesis of that story. Yeah.
Initial immediate thoughts on the Iowa versus Rutgers game this weekend.
Thought number one is that Cooper DeJean is, how the kids say, built different.
Yeah. I mean, he's a better athlete than maybe you and me combined.
I think if you take the best qualities of both of us, then yeah.
Just is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, the dude just plug and play. You put him in a new position. He just plays corner and he balls out.
Yeah.
What?
I don't think people respect. I don't even know if they notice, like you or I would, him switching around. Like, hey, he's at cash. Hey, he's at corner. Hey, has he played safety a little bit?
I don't think he's played any safety, but you know, if you can play cash and corner, you can play safety, damn sure.
So I don't think people understand he just
not only that, I mean, it's just like it's an extremely different position, not only technique wise, but like, you know, mentally,
mindset
fit in the defense,
right?
Not mindset a little bit. Like he was playing a lot of man to man previously, yeah. But just to know the position,
it's just
impressive for what's he, a sophomore?
Yeah, second year.
Yeah.
Just he is
positions already.
Yeah, he's impressive, and he's impressive physically. He's not an imposing figure by any means, but he's a guy who doesn't have a lot.
You know who he reminds me of, and who we probably have a very similar career to once he is done in his college time? He's Micah Hyde.
Which sucks for Micah because there's news that his season ended this weekend, which blows.
It's true, but
I see
Cooper DeJean's path taking him very similar.
And he is, you know what they have that's sort of unquantifiable that sticks out to them is how smooth they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just natural.
I don't know how else to describe it other than just fluid. It's so, the catch he made on that interception over his head.
I mean, first off, like I'll talk about it again. He's playing this position the first time he's ever played it in a game, right? They have a combo coverage on the one receiver side. So it means that he and the safety have this guy kind of double teamed. If this guy takes an inward route, which he does, he just takes a shallow crossing. Safety immediately cuts that. He breaks off beautifully. Quarterback will never see this happen. Like, I think, was it Sebastian Castro or Kyler Fisher's guy had him beat a little bit, but then, you know, this quarterback's never seen Cooper break off that route
and yeah.
come to pick that off with just a beautiful Willie Mays catch. And then just looks like he sliced through the offense on the return.
It was catching a ball, go out, you know, like, hey, go out with your kid or go out with your buddy and go throw each other passes where you see the pass come out of their hand and then you immediately turn around and bend your head backwards and catch that ball. Now do it with a helmet on. That your vision is not, it's not the same. So that catch is way harder than people think. And then you're right, Kev, he turns around and it's almost like his ability to dissect what he saw with where all the players were on the field. And he immediately saw his path to cut across the field. Blocking was fantastic, by the way. The defense turned around and absolutely just zeroed in on guys. It was awesome to see. And he is electric with the ball in his hands. And like all of Hawkeye Nation just laughs because there's just no way that your defense can keep scoring points, right? But they do. Like, they just do. We have the highest scoring defense in the country, which was padded on again when Castro absolutely castrated a guy out in the flat. Yeah, and
that was a hell of a hit.
I mean, we've got some hunters in this defense. Castro's a hell of a player, too.
Yeah, I like the way he looked. I think that's his first start he got at the cash spot, and I like the way he looked.
Coming out game for him, I think, for sure. Kayvon's there, picks up the ball. Jack was underneath him. Kayvon walks it in for a touchdown, and it's 14-3. It's just really exciting when you have guys who can make plays like that on defense. So we are going to get right back to Kevin's thoughts on the game in a second. Want to pop in real quick to say that our title sponsor of the show is DRF Sports. Now, if you're smart, you'd be taking advantage of all of DRF's promotions, sign-up promotions, boosts. Have you seen the Washup Walk-Ons boosts? We haven't hit one yet, but we're close. This week 5 is going to be the week. Texas, UTSA, right on the money. Wisconsin's a fraud, so evidently we don't, you know, that we're not going to talk about that. But this is the week that the DRF boost hits. So get in on that DRF app, ia.drf.com. Download that thing. Take advantage of the sign-up bonus. I think Radio 150 still applies as of today. $150 sign-up deposit match. And then put it all on the Wash Up Walk-Ons boost and watch your account grow. Now, that's just
That's just me talking. You could do that. You could make money. You could sit at home, or you could just not do that and not take advantage. It is what it is. DRF Sports, we thank the boys for being the title sponsor of the show. Shout out to them. And let's continue to do big things with old DRF Sportsbook. Now, some other thoughts here. Some of you, as I said, if you're getting tired of the advertisements, take a look at our Patreon. I'm not going to sell it any more than I need to. Patreon.com/washedupwalkons. It's going to give you ad-free listening. You're going to get early access to the video and audio episodes. You're going to get discounts on our merchandise. You're going to be sending money. Part of your subscription is going to go to the kids at the Children's Hospital, and you're going to get access to exclusive merchandise as well. There's so many perks, not to mention a extra episode each week in which you get to hear Drake, who is currently absent from the main show, in all of his glory. He is absolutely zero filter there. It gets pretty wild. But if you're still here listening to the main show, then I want to tell you about AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. AdCraft. You may have recognized that when we do our merchandise stores, those come through an AdCraft web store URL. They are incredible over there. They can help you with your custom apparel and merchandise. Anything. I'm talking anything. My favorite part of their process is the fact that they take care of every step from the design process, helping you take your ideas in your head and creating that into an art design of which you approve. They immediately get into the process of, okay, let's put this thing on a t-shirt, on a tank top, on a hat, on a jersey. They can help you with any work uniforms that you may need, any sports uniforms that you may need for your kids. Maybe you're in a softball league. I don't know. Maybe you just like to wear jerseys around the house. One of the listeners of the Washed Up Walk-Ons, Kinnick Under the Kitchen, some of you may follow him on Twitter, does some incredible artwork. They helped him open up his own store with some of his own designs. So AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise from Clinton, they have been our people for, gosh, over 2 years now, and I would not be doing these customized live reads if I didn't believe in the product and the service that they were providing. So if you have any needs, go check them out, adcraftwebstores.com. Shout out to them as well.
That was all based off of your initial thought of Cooper DeJean. What other thoughts did you have from the Hawks in general?
I mean, defensively, it's just another great outing, right? There's just no other way to say it. They play great team defense. They stop the run. They get off the field on fourth downs. I think we gave up one big play first quarter. You know, it's just a shot play. You know, receiver makes a good play. That's it. It happens every now and then. But, you know, the lack of letting up big plays, stopping the run, forcing third downs and getting off on third down, it's just really great fundamental defense, man. It's just,
yeah,
not much else you can say. These guys tackle really well. That's what one thing I will say is we have a really good tackling defense. We make tackles.
And we do bend. You know, we talk about the bend, don't break when it comes to Iowa's defense. We do bend a fair amount. There's a lot of bending in there. Specifically towards the end of a third quarter, they put together a really nice drive where, similar to how Iowa State did it, they dinked and dunked us a few times. They blew up a couple holes in our defensive line where I would have liked to see it close down a little bit more. But in the end, they find a way. Like, it's that whole philosophy, Kev, of, okay, you've got 80 yards. You might get 60, but at some point, we're going to win out. And over the course of a game, we're going to win out enough times where you end up with 10 points. And that's where we've been saying, if this offense can just be within the top 100, right? If we can just score like 10 points, 17 points offensively a game, that might be enough with this defense. And we were actually able to do that. We scored 13 points. Yeah, 13 points offensively. With two really good drives offensively. There are some issues. We went 1 for 9 on third down offensively. Yeah,
that is my highlighted issue, and that's one we've definitely struggled on all year, is got to be able to extend drives, and that's execute on third down. We especially struggle when we get backed up and it's third and long, third and medium, third and short. We have better chances, but we have got to find ways to extend drives, because 1 for 9 is not cutting it.
I don't know. I was pleased with the offensive line this game.
Markedly improved in the last two games. I will say that.
Yeah.
Improved a lot,
which is what we talked about. It's, mm-hmm. it's big. You can see a lot of improvement. Playing in games matters. The more every single snap that they get with live action matters. That I personally think that the line should look like this. And this is just from, this could be wrong. I'm just a guy. I played long snapper, but I like Richmond at left tackle, Dunker at left guard, Logan Jones at center, Tyler Ellsbury at right guard, Connor Colby at right tackle. That's who I see as our best line. I think those are our five best dudes. It's nothing against Bo Stevens or Nick DeYoung. I think Nick DeYoung is right there as well. But we were blowing up some holes. I mean, there was some legitimate running room for Caleb Johnson and LaShawn Williams, and they were hit. I mean, those guys can hit it too. I'm very happy with our running backs.
No, I mean, I totally agree. I think not only did I think Brian's plan of attack in the run game was really sound. I think he put his offensive line in positions to be successful and for the running backs to be able to make plays. Yeah, they moved the ball pretty effectively when they stayed on schedule, I'd say. And
I mean, right here we have LaShawn Williams, 11 carries for 64 yards, 5.8 a carry. Well, that'll work. That'll fucking do, Kev. Caleb Johnson, who runs in a different way, but I'm going to use the same word. He runs so incredibly smooth that it looks like he's not trying, but he's still running really fast. He's fun to watch run. He gets 15 carries for 58 yards, almost 4 yards a carry. Both of those, that'll do. Running yeah, I mean, game.
You take out like the sack yardage and we run for 145 yards or so like that.
We'll take it.
We can win like that.
Yeah.
We can win like that. If we can move the ball on the ground, slow the game down, take possessions out of the other team's offense and let our defense work, we can win games like that. Now, we got to finish in the red zone when we get there.
Yep.
We got to extend drives on third down, but there is absolutely a path to us competing to win the West here.
Competing. There's a path. There's a path. Like you said earlier, let's dip into, we'll come back to a few of the things from the Iowa Rutgers game. Minnesota versus Michigan State. This game in a lot of other years, especially years that we were playing, would look a whole lot different on the scoreboard. I don't know if Michigan State's a fraud.
They're not what they were last year. I know that.
I know this. I bet they don't feel super comfortable with the $100 million they paid Mel Tucker.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to see your team go get blown out in a Big Ten conference game against a team that you should beat. Historically, on paper, all this stuff.
Historically, yes. This year, no. I think Minnesota is the far better football team. And it showed.
And they have to be feeling pretty darn good about themselves. Like extremely good. They came out against some weak opponents and crushed them like they're supposed to.
Yep.
And then, okay, here's Big Ten play. It's time for these games to count. And they come out and they do it to a Big Ten opponent. Tanner Morgan is the most experienced quarterback in the Big Ten.
I mean, the guy looks older than you.
Okay, come on, dude. Come on, dude. That's bullshit. I mean, 20.
Tell me I'm wrong, though.
Do I look old?
You don't look young anymore, dude.
It's the beard.
It's the beard and the bald head, man. It ages you a little bit. I mean, you look good. It's the best look that you got, bar none. But it does age you. Okay? You can't say young people with a bald head automatically look older than
you. No, you're right. I understand. I get it. It's just funny that you guys shit on me and shit on me and shit on me for the bald head and all this stuff. And then you tell me I look old with the bald head. And then after all of that, you say, and it's the best look that you've got by far. It's all you've got. And the funny part is you're not wrong. Bo, a quick anecdote. Bo has just libraries full of images and videos from our time in college. And for each one of our birthdays in the Benton group chat, he will send, there's not very many of me because Kevin and I didn't live in the back house and I just wasn't as much of a creature as some of those other guys were. But he sent a video of me to the chat today where I did not have a single beard hair on my face and my hair on top of my head was much longer. And I looked at least a decade younger, maybe more.
I'm not sure what year that was, but you looked like a teenager.
I looked like a freshman or a sophomore in high school. With what Coach Doyle would say, is all of my baby fat. Through my senior year, Coach Doyle would continually tell me how I was the only 20-year-old or older who he'd ever seen with that much of their baby fat still on their body. And that was insulting. And in a way, it was endearing.
And I think that's exactly how he meant it.
I believe he did. Tanner Morgan is, I should go to the game quick. He diced him up. And Mo Ibrahim, who hurt his knee, I believe they were playing Michigan early last year, and he tore his ACL.
No, he tore his Achilles.
And it was Ohio State. It was Ohio State. And he tore his Achilles, and he was looking absolutely unstoppable. He is back, and he is back to doing what he was doing.
Yeah, he's one of the best backs in the Big Ten.
Maybe the country. He'll definitely have a chance at the next level. So, and you know what? We've shit on their offensive line for being slow. They've been really big in a couple of the last years, but they've been a little slow, especially that like 6'11 guy. Their offensive line looks good. And their defense is clearly playing well.
Our defense is playing extremely well. They've given up, I think, less points than we have in through four games.
One more. They've given up 24. We've given up 23.
Oh, okay. Damn. Yeah. So suck it, Minnesota.
Yeah. Suck it. We're way better. So when we're talking about the West right now, you're looking at Minnesota probably being in the driver's seat. It's hard to say because we're 1 week in record wise, but as far as like what it feels like and who looks the best, you're probably looking at Minnesota.
I'd say the Hawks are second.
I would somehow.
I'd say it's Iowa, Purdue, Wisconsin in the next tier.
Wisconsin now has a Big Ten loss. Purdue has a Big Ten loss. They automatically, because of those, are going to fall even or below the Hawks, even though the potential, the outlook for the Hawks is, in a lot of people's minds, much more dire because of our offensive situation. But it is what it is. We still have an undefeated Big Ten record at 1-0, and they don't. We are going to have to play Michigan. We're going to have to play Ohio State. We're going to have to play those three teams. So it's
we get boned with the crossover schedule a little bit, but hey, can't control who you play, right?
No.
All you can control is how you play.
You got to line them up. And, I think all you could ask for from the Hawks this week was a step forward. And I think they took a step forward.
Absolutely.
Quickly, let's talk about, and I have a three-way tie this week. I want to talk about the count the kicks, which is the thing I'm doing this year. If you want to support Count the Kicks, it's a initiative that it is in action to help prevent stillbirths in the third trimester. You can go to countthekicks.org. This week's Count the Kicks special teams play of the week is Gavin Williams absolutely destroying that guy on kickoff.
Oh yeah. That was, so that dude was getting blocked by someone else, gets off it. And then he looks like confused or something like that, like how he got off the block. And then Gavin Williams is right there in his chin and lays him flat.
And you have played kickoff and kick return. It's a very weird how much momentum.
I think the guy was like astonished that a kick actually got returned because
it doesn't happen anymore. And the fact that he got off his block, but now he doesn't have that downfield momentum because so now he's kind of on his heels and he has to get back into the play. And he runs right into the blocking lane of Gavin Williams and gets absolutely, I mean, it's the definition, a gif of this hit would be the definition of road grading. I mean, he absolutely got smoked. We run right by him, 40-yard kickoff return.
Monday Night Football pre-game, they used to have the jacked up segment. Then they had to get rid of it because of CTE and brain injuries.
That actually doesn't ring a bell. I probably would if...
Man.
Oh, wait. Who did it? Who did the segment?
Who had Monday Night Football back in the day? I think it was NBC, right?
Would they come on when they did the segment? They would come on and they'd be like, "Now it's time to see who got jacked up."
And it'd be like, I remember specifically Reggie Bush was on there, and it'd be like Reggie Bush, and then everyone would go,
"Yeah, jacked up." Okay, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. Well, that would be on there. Now, my honorable mentions are Drew Stevens hitting the over with the doink through the uprights, and Torrey Taylor, who had several nice punts. It was not the punt off that it was built up to be. Probably thankfully, they both had several good kicks. That Corsac guy is also Australian. The one other thing I want to touch on in this game, I don't have a whole lot else to touch on here other than we had, I want to make sure I get this right. I've got the stats right here. We had one catch by a receiver in this game.
Yeah.
It was an Arlen Bruce five yard catch. LaPorta was great. Lachey was great. And I said this before the season started. I think that in our receiving game, LaPorta is our most important guy because it's the guy that Spencer feels most comfortable throwing to. I don't know if that's because the routes that he's running are specifically the ones that Spencer likes throwing. I don't know if for some reason he feels this unexplainable comfortability with him. He took a couple shots downfield at LaPorta. I mean, LaPorta had a couple long balls, a 42-yard catch. I think that was part of the really good drive that we put together. One catch by your receivers is we are not going to win games doing that.
Yeah, but we also, yeah, we threw the ball 17 times, right?
It's not a lot.
Not a lot. You would like to see it dished around a little bit more than we did.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you'd argue this was our best offensive performance of the year.
It absolutely was.
Right? I mean, they moved the ball more effectively this game. And I think, one, Rutgers actually has a solid defense, too.
Correct. You're right. That is something to remember here. They came into this game as a top 10 defense in the country as well.
Right. And, I Spencer had to just check it down sometimes, toss it out to the receivers, toss it out to the running backs, toss it out to the tight ends. Who cares how we move the ball, right?
You're right. I agree.
Yes, I do agree. I think
here's the thing, Kev.
Would have been great to spread it around a little bit.
It would look great 2020 hindsight if you look at the stat sheet and you see, oh, we've got three or four receivers and they all have four catches, and so does our tight end, and we had a couple other receivers in Lachey with one or two catches apiece, and you know, we've got, you know, we're 20 for 30 and it's just spread around like a nice piece of buttered bread. Shout out to the top five bread segment that we're doing on Thursday. But the issue is like, it doesn't matter what the score sheet or the stat sheet says if you come out on top. And I'll be honest, we're not an air raid attack. We're not going to, you know, we are what we are.
There's no changing it this year.
And it, right.
You can make all the debates in the world you want in January, but now through the bowl game, we are who we are.
And who we are and how we will win games is if we can run the ball, hopefully for a little bit more than we did. We probably need to get up to around 200 yards rushing. And then our passing game is going to be Salem Porta and Luke Lachey getting half of the catches or more. And then Nico and Arland and maybe Keegan, if he's in the game, getting the other half of the catches.
Right. And they'll take their shots when they're there. I don't think Rutgers plays a defense that, you know, allows for as many shots as, you know, as we saw against Nevada, right?
Yeah.
There's definitely times to take your shots, but I don't think in the game that we were playing yesterday, you know, the game within the game really called for a whole lot of vertical passing.
You're right. I agree. And you know, when we run the ball like we did, blowing up holes, I probably counted 6 or 7 runs of 10 yards, 8 or 10 yards, like big, like gaining an entire sticks. Like
chunk plays.
Chunk plays with LaShawn and Caleb. When you can run the ball like that, our downfield passing attack will open up more. It will.
Absolutely.
And that is how we're going to win games, is then setting up the play action, setting up some shot plays that we can take to Nico. I feel bad for Nico. Fucking the whole Ragaini clan was there. They had 80 people there, and he didn't get a catch in his hometown.
Got the dub, though, man.
Got the dub, and he got his sandwich from Luizzi's or something that his grandma makes him after every game. That legendary family needs a... Chad Lessico did a story on him. They need like a documentary done on him. Fucking Ragaini. I feel like he's part of the mob. So that's who we are. And like Kevin said, we're not going to change it. Last thing I want to talk about in this game is, especially towards the end in the fourth quarter, and I want your opinion on this. I don't even know how much you've paid attention to this. We didn't have Terry Roberts in this game, which is... We'd rather have Terry Roberts. Let's just say that. I had several people on Twitter ask me, has Riley Moss fallen off a little bit? And do we now see Cooper and Terry as two of our better guys? And why is Riley maybe the weak link? And there was a few plays, and I haven't seen that. And my inclination was that he probably gets some of the harder assignments too. He's our best guy. And so I believe he was matched up against Hutchinson in Iowa State most of the time. Any thoughts on that? Have you seen that? I haven't seen the decline.
No, it's bullshit.
Okay. I thought so.
No, Riley's playing just as well as he did last year.
Okay. He was
I would argue that first quarter, he probably should have had that pick in the end zone, but
yeah, I think this was
when he probably would have liked to head back.
This was probably asked for two specific plays that happened, and it looks just sort of glaringly weak on TV, but you don't always understand. He was the one who gave up the touchdown, and he turned outside and kind of had the ball was thrown really well to the inside, and the receiver made a play on it. He's a good receiver, and he made a play.
And he's playing the hardest position to play in sports.
He is playing DB. It's incredibly hard to play DB, corner specifically. And then late in the game, he dropped off on a zone protection, and Quinn Schulte was over the top. And I think Schulte was more out of position than he was. And it made for a catch and run that looked wide fucking open, but it wasn't necessarily Riley's fault. I would have to get some confirmation on that because again, I'm not Phil Parker here, but that's what it looked like to me. When they're wearing white jerseys and all of a sudden you see number 33 as the closest guy to the ball, but they're making this easy completion, you're like, what the fuck is Riley doing? Like, why isn't he in the spot that he needs to be? He probably is, or at least closer than you think. So I didn't think so either. Either way, hard to argue with what this defense is putting out right now. It's pretty great. And it's fun to watch. So anything else to wrap up this recap episode, Kev? Any thoughts? Obviously, we'll preview Michigan. We'll talk about Brett on Thursday, but...
excited for that one.
Yeah.
That's what I got to do my homework on, is one of the top five breads.
Top five breads and three picks that are going to win this week. And I won't fuck you with a meme on Twitter.
I don't have to do any work on that. I'm just going to pick the opposite of Drake.
Oh, yeah, true. Forgot.
Guaranteed at least 2-1.
Closing thoughts.
No, I think like you said earlier, we took care of business like we needed to. Good to see the guys play well on the road.
True.
Definitely improved week to week, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Gonna have to take that momentum and really play our best game this week coming up.
We need
a great week of practice.
Yeah, we need equal improvement that we made from Nevada to Rutgers to happen from Rutgers to Michigan. Because though Maryland was able to score a lot of points and kind of and show that, like Kevin said, Michigan is not immortal. This is a good football team. Blake Corum will run hard. They've got guys who can score the ball. They have, I think they have two quarterbacks that they, do they still use two quarterbacks or they have they settled in on one?
I want to say that they have settled in
on McCarthy. Is it McCarthy? Let me see if I can find.
Yeah, McCarthy. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, defense, again, our defense is going to be solid. I think the opening line sits at Michigan minus -9.
Yeah, I saw like 9.5, 10, which, you know, 2 weeks ago, probably, people were probably thinking it'd be at least double that.
Correct. And I think the over under that I saw was like 43.
I have not seen an over under yet, but
I saw 43. So
yeah, like, you already know which way I'm leaning.
Vegas is putting that one at like 27, no, 25 to 14, 25 to 17, around there. So if the Hawks can keep it close, it's in Kinnick. Big noon kickoff. We'll talk about that. They're coming back.
It's Kinnick. How's Big E doing?
He's coming back.
Is he?
Yeah, he's coming back for big noon kickoff.
I love that, man.
And actually, you want to know what? I got an email from some marketing lady that they wanted. So I wasn't really sure what was going on. She does like PR and marketing events and stuff for Wendy's, like Baconator Wendy's.
4 for 4.
She wanted the three of us to do a podcast from their footprint at the big noon kickoff on Saturday. And then like interview.
How many Baconators are we getting for this?
Well, they said we'd have you guys eat Wendy's. And then they wanted us to like interview Big E for them. And
how
I was
many Baconators for this?
I'm still like going back and forth with her, but it sounds like they're like, let's just put it this way. It doesn't sound worth it. Like, it sounds like they're going to fucking use us. And I don't know, like they're looking to,
they're trying to not give us any Baconators.
They are going to feed us Wendy's
just once.
I think
I need
so.
Like a year supply of Baconators.
Oh no, it's like you get a sandwich on Saturday morning.
Okay, tell Wendy that she's a bitch, and I'm saying no.
Tell Wendy you could stick it up her ass. I don't know. That whole parade and pony show is going to be there in Kinnick. You know, Kinnick's never safe if you're the opponent, so we'll just leave it at that. I am so tired from this weekend. Now I have to edit this thing, put it up. Hope you guys have a fantastic Monday and a fantastic week. The Hawks are 3-1. All of the things that are still in play for the Hawkeye football team, and we made improvements. So let's just build on that. Let's have a great fucking week. Hawks by 1,000,000, and we will talk to you guys on Thursday. Start thinking about your favorite breads. See you then.